We're here at the San Francisco Bay Independent Media Center with two activists from BayCor, Tony Mendocino and Elizabeth Creeley, and we're going to have a discussion about what BayCor is, why it's formed, and what actions are taking place to bolster and protect women's reproductive rights. Why don't you start out, Tony, and you and Elizabeth let us know why the group formed, what you formed for, and what your key demands are right now for reproductive rights.
Thanks for having us. My name's Tony Mendocino. I'm an organizer with Radical Women and also with BayCor, which is the Bay Area Coalition for Our Reproductive Rights. We're a coalition that has been reformed. We actually have a history going back to the mid-80s when BayCor was originally active in stopping Operation Rescue successfully. We focused on training clinic defenders to keep clinics open when they were under siege by Operation Rescue and other right-wing anti-choice groups. And in 2005, we really saw the need to reform a coalition like BayCor to address the intensified attacks on women's reproductive rights, which we're seeing, you know, just a real escalation, which we'd like to talk about, from, you know, increased harassment at our clinics to right-wing legislation trying to take away abortion rights, as well as attacking many other aspects of reproductive rights, and a climate that is not addressing the needs of women, not only on the right to control their own bodies and decide if they don't want to have a child, but to also enable people to decide to reproduce, which includes demands that BayCor fights for, like the need for health care and affordable child care and safe birth control. So we're a very multi-issue coalition. We focus on action and trying to build a movement, and we want to really talk about that in particular today, because there is so much happening and we do need to be out in the streets, not just lobbying our elected officials, but really demanding justice on these crucial issues. So a grassroots movement is really the direction we see to stop the war on reproductive rights. And so we're organizing different things around that, and we welcome people to join BayCor. We're definitely a coalition that wants people to get involved, that's activist-oriented, but that also, you know, includes people from all different perspectives. And Elizabeth, maybe you'd like to add more about what BayCor's about and what we've been doing in the recent period.
Well, one of the things that we would really like to see happen in the next year or so is that San Francisco, of course, is home to so many nonprofits, so many of them working on so many different issues. There are environmental nonprofits, there are labor nonprofits, health nonprofits, all sorts of, you know, advocacy-related organizations make their home here, and it's likely that within many of those nonprofits' vision and mission statements, there is a place that affirms the right to bodily liberty and the necessity of sustainable living. BayCor could potentially be a site, an action site, a media site for those organizations who really want to honor those visions and missions that they may have to work on those issues specifically. So, for instance, with the rally that we're holding in Dolores Park this Saturday, we're working with Ruckus Society, which typically trains activists to go out and confront corporate malfeasance, but in this case recognizes that its drive to live on this earth sustainably includes the right of women to control and oversee their fertility. And so according to that, they're working with us. I would like to make it possible for BayCor to work with other environmental organizations like Greenpeace or like Rainforest Action Network or like the Sierra Club. And so I think that that's something that we would like to plan on doing, especially with the January 1st Walk for Life March. That's the second annual anti-choice Walk for Life March that's happening January 21st. We're hoping to see a higher percentage of people from nonprofits that don't typically think of themselves as having much to do with reproductive rights. I think that people should really reconsider that.
Some of our demands in the current period include we're trying to let people know about the need to vote no on Proposition 73 on the November 8th ballot in California. This is a right-wing sponsored initiative called the Parental Notification Initiative. It attacks young women under 18's right to have an abortion and basically is a very insidious proposition that also has language in it, not only making it a woman under 18 have to get her parents, let her parents know that she's getting an abortion, which for many young women is really an impossibility, including in the cases of women who are being abused or for whom that's just not an option. And it forces them to have to do a 48-hour waiting period and seek a judicial bypass if they, you know, can't tell their parents, all of which is a huge restriction on a young woman's need to be able to get an abortion if she needs one. We're also against this proposition and trying to let people know how urgent it is to get out there and oppose it, because it has language in it that codifies a fetus as an unborn child, which has long been the right wing's attempt to, you know, get language in different arenas that would really abortion. And it also is going to have things like it's going to keep a scorecard of judges on their rulings, and it also implicates healthcare providers by forcing them to get caught up in parental notification. So we're against this. We're also seeing this as it's not a single issue. As I said, Baker's multi-issue. We're also, we organized a speak out against John Roberts for his, you know, fundamentalist and right-wing views on many aspects, including the right to abortion. He said that Roe v. Wade, you know, was wrongly determined and should be overturned. We want Supreme Court justices who will defend working people's rights, women's rights, and expand civil liberties. And I think that this is a huge, you know, issue for us, because we see that these attacks are coming not just from, you know, initiatives like Prop 73, but also from the highest court in the land. We're also demanding to repeal the Hyde Amendment, which is a law that's been was put in place in the 70s after Roe v. Wade was won to try and to restrict funding for women who get Medicaid or in the military. And this law has been, you know, reaffirmed every year by both Democrats and Republicans in Congress and needs to be immediately taken away. We also call for universal health care, safe birth control, prenatal care, affordable child care, those kinds of demands that enable women to truly have a choice. And other demands, which Elizabeth can expand on, about ending forced sterilization, abuse of poor women and women of color, which goes on today. We also are against, we're demanding to end the war on women at home and abroad, because we see the war on reproductive rights as part and parcel of an attack on our liberties in general, and that women are the hardest hit by when they cut back social services and to pay for things like the war on Iraq. And we also are trying to really defend our clinics from right-wing terrorism. We organized some events over the summer when our clinics were under attack that Elizabeth can expand on, and see there's a real climate of escalating violence against clinics that our government is doing nothing to stop, and that's really putting our bodies right there on the line when we try and get the services we deserve.
Okay, Elizabeth, talk about those issues and also talk about some of the groups that you're having to fight against and the different ways some of the anti-abortion groups are making it really difficult for people to get an abortion without actually outlawing abortion, all the ways they're chipping away at a woman's right to choose.
Okay, well, one of the first and most important ways that they're making it difficult for people to get an abortion is simply by showing up to clinics consistently with signs, with themselves, and with their rhetoric, and doing this day after day, weekend after weekend. The thing that I really want to point out here in the national landscape of women's rights is that at a point long ago, probably, California was not seen as the low-hanging fruit. California was not seen as a state that had undefended, non-community-supported women's health clinics. Those were states like Missouri or Alabama or, Texas. Those states have since then been taken care of by the anti-choice movement. Again, they've limited access. Very simply, they've done it by showing up to clinics, eroding public support for clinics, creating a culture of shame for women who have benefited from Roe v. Wade by getting legal abortions, and basically isolating these clinics from their communities. And of course, federal funding for things like public health care has never been great in this country, and women's health clinics are really on the first to go. So those states have been effectively locked down by anti-choice activists. The question of how it is women are denied access is because anti-choice activists mobilize. Anti-choice activists mobilize. They show up to clinics and they stay there, and they do it consistently. That has not happened in San Francisco as much. As a result of this, Missouri, among all of the states, has one abortion clinic. This abortion clinic is visited day in and day out by a man who sits across from the abortion clinic and makes a clicking gun sign with his hand to every woman who enters this clinic. In other places like Alabama, clinics get blown up. At our rally on Saturday, we're going to have a letter read by Emily Lyons, a nurse at an Alabama clinic that was blown up by Eric Rudolph in 1998. She received the full brunt of that bomb and was expected to die, was severely maimed, today lives with shrapnel buried in her body, and has become an outspoken and passionate reproductive rights activist. We're honored to have her letter at our rally. California has had relatively progressive laws governing reproductive rights. What is happening today is that since the other states have essentially been taken care of, California, because of a lack of, basically because of complacency, I think that's where I'm going, has now become easier to attack. The reproductive rights movement has not mobilized as effectively or as consistently as, say, the anti-war movement or as the environmental movement. You can get people out to Ford dealerships to protest SUVs on a Saturday more easily than you can get individuals to show up to a clinic that serves local, working class, and low-income women. That's something to think about. That is a going reality in California right now. We probably still have more reproductive rights clinics in California. Most of them are in the north. I know in the south, I'm still, Baycor is kind of working on developing these actual statistics, but the clinic closure is kind of a constant. And one of the reasons that we're fighting so hard to make sure the communities know where their clinics are and prioritize and value their staff and give them money and show up to testify for them and show up to defend them is because we don't want to we cannot lose our clinics. We need our clinics. California could never do with a single clinic, but that could happen if we don't see increased and more consistent mobilization on the part of activists who, as I said, will turn out for a host of other issues.
Right, so this issue, like a lot of women's issues, is not rising to the top. You've got two events coming up, one next Saturday, November 5th, at Dolores Park in San Francisco, and another one on Saturday, January 21st. Why don't you talk about those events?
The event on Saturday, November 5th is a rally at Dolores Park in San Francisco called Stop the War on Reproductive Rights. It's going to take place from 1 to 4 p.m., followed by a Take Back the Night march at 4:30, which is open to all. And the goal for this day at the park is really what we're talking about, demanding full reproductive justice. Our BayCorps distinguishes itself from other more liberal feminist groups because we do want to build a militant movement. We do see that we need to be out in the streets, and we can't just rely on our Democrat and Republican officials to take care of our rights, because that's just not happening. In fact, the opposite's happening, and we deserve better than that. So we want to get the people out on Saturday. It's also a way to raise awareness about voting no on November 8th against Prop 73 and the other initiatives that attack working people's rights. And then January 21st, we have found out that there will be a second annual Walk for Life West Coast. The first one was last January, when people and leaders from BayCorps were involved in organizing a very successful counter-protest to the thousands of anti-choice people who marched through the streets of San Francisco. We were there to show them that San Francisco does defend a woman's right to choose, and that we also stand up for the rights of disabled women, young women, women of color in this period, because they're the ones that are being hit the hardest. Prop 73 is attacking the rights of women who can't even vote against this initiative. These are teenagers who deserve the rights that all women should have. And so I think young people today really need to see that there's an urgency to get out in the streets. January 21st, we want people to know that we need help. We need to decide democratically as a movement what we're going to do on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade in 2006, how we're going to respond to the Walk for Life. BayCorps meetings are open to everyone. If you want more information or to join and help us out, we still have lots going on in the fall and winter to prepare, and we want people's ideas. You can check out our website at www.bacorr.org. You can send us an email at baycorpsinfo@riseup.net, or you can call 415-864-1278 to get involved and come to the meetings and contribute any way that you want to as an individual, as long as it's in the spirit of building and expanding reproductive justice.
Okay, finally, Elizabeth, why is it important to make the point clearly that San Francisco is a pro-choice town in regard to why all these groups are targeting San Francisco all of a sudden?
Well, the easy answer is because everyone looks to San Francisco to provide models of activism that then can be exported to other parts of the United States. I do think that that's probably an easy answer. I don't know that it's important to show them that San Francisco is supportive of reproductive rights. I think it's important for communities to turn out and confront the Christian right, the theocrats that want to take over this country as often as possible. And the reason that it's important for people to vote on the 8th, turn out to our rally on Saturday, and participate in the participate against the anti-choice march, is because it's happening here. That's why it's important to turn out. It's important to turn out because it's happening in San Francisco. It has nothing to do with San Francisco. It's part of a nationwide anti-choice movement. And what's simply happening is it is finally coming home to San Francisco, since all the other states have been locked up. California is the low-hanging fruit. That should send a chill down everyone's spine who's interested in this issue. The other thing that I want to point out very quickly is last year we found out the Walk for Life was coming, and we sort of had to convene very hurriedly, and afterwards there were some really interesting impressions about the Walk for Life, who they were, how they came together. And there was some erroneous impression that the Walk for Life was pulled together by people from red counties in San Francisco, by people from the southern part of the state. There were assertions made that it wasn't really a San Francisco thing, that it was an imposition of the right on San Francisco. That's not true. The Archdiocese of San Francisco, in partnership with the Archdiocese of Oakland, is organizing this march. with the help of two local San Franciscan women who are active members of St. Mary's Church in San Francisco. Dolores Meehan is one person's name, and I think Eva Muntin, can't pronounce her name, is another. This is a local march organized by people who live in San Francisco. I think it's really important to bring that home. San Francisco may have an active, experimental, progressive community, but it is home to many, many people. This is a homegrown march. They may bus people in from Tracy. I don't particularly care where people are from myself, but it's important to make sure that people understand that this is not a red state imposition on a state and a city and a county that is safely blue state. It is not. California has some very active anti-choice legislators. It worries me that their names are not on the tips of our lips and that they're not in currency as much as they should be. I think we know who the warmongers in this state are. We know who Richard Pombo is. We know who Randy Cunningham, who is a now deposed conservative representative, is. Do we know who our anti-choice state legislators are? We may not.
Okay, thank you, Elizabeth and Tony. Stop the War on Reproductive Rights, Saturday, November 5th, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Rally at Dolores Park, San Francisco, followed by a Take Back the Night march at 4:30. So pro-choice people and reproductive right defenders, be there.